Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Dark Spectrum. Last week we read... Sam's face lit up with a smile. "How about you stick around?" he said. "You tell your story, and I'll tell mine. I have a permit for my gun. Can you say that about everything in that magic bag of yours?" I slammed his head into the side of the SUV before letting go of him. It felt good, but it was a petty thing for me to do, as it only served to slow me down. It was better than killing him, but it wasn't going to help my public relations when the video got out and I was identified. I grabbed my bag from where it lay beside Walter, and I ran. I heard shouts as the cop got out of the car, and I put on an extra burst of speed after rounding a corner. In minutes, I'd covered three blocks and made as many turns. By the time an hour was up, I left them far behind and was soaked with sweat. And now, episode 21. I found Margaret's old address by mid-afternoon. She had lived in a rundown duplex on a tiny lot. Similarly dilapidated housing was on either side. The lawn was overgrown, but it was generous to even refer to it as grass. It looked more like a cultivated dandelion patch. The driveway of the ramshackle home was empty, the concrete cracked and falling apart. I approached the door and gave it a knock, expecting there would not be an answer. I was planning to pick the lock and slip in, but wanted to make sure the place was empty. While I waited, I thought of Sam, wondering how he had found me. After my encounter, I'd gone through everything I had with me looking for a tracker, but I found nothing. I dumped my loose change and turned off all my phones. I even turned off my tablet. I had done my usual routine of taking the long way while going through crowded areas. I'd switched hats three times. Unless there was something I was missing, he had no way of knowing where I was. But still I worried, wondering if they were somehow tracking me while I wore a disguise. When I had a spare moment, I would research to see if Data Raider had facial recognition technology, but I was grasping at straws and knew it. To my surprise, the door was opened, and an African-American woman in her late 80s looked up at me, her eyes milky but clear. She wore thick glasses. She blinked as she took me in. I was glad I'd remembered to remove my hat just before turning onto the block so I at least looked presentable. "What do you want?" she asked with the tone of an educated woman. "Is this the Cox residence?" I asked. The woman's face scrunched up. "Who wants to know?" The hostility was unmistakable. I thought fast. "Ma'am, I'm with Child Protective Services. I'm helping search for Margaret Cox. I assumed you're her grandmother." She motioned me in with a sneer. "It's about time one of you lazy idiots came for a visit. Come in, come in. I thought you had forgotten about her. Better late than never." She looked me straight in the eye. "A month ago would have been better." I had not expected to be the first person to visit. I felt bad as I followed her in. I had to lie to her. It was the only way, but she deserved better than lies. I gritted my teeth. I was going to find her granddaughter. The home's interior was well maintained. The floors were freshly mopped, and I could smell the lemons scented cleaner. The rugs had marks as if it had been recently vacuumed, and there was not a stain to be seen. I was surprised to find the inside so well kept and clean. She showed me to a plastic-covered couch that made rubbing sounds when I sat. She sat after I declined an offer for something to drink. She had asked through bared teeth, so I wasn't about to request anything, though I was thirsty and had finished the last of my water bottle hours ago. "What may I help you with?" she asked, struggling to keep her voice civil. She gripped one hand with the other, her knuckles turning white. I cleared my throat. "We are concerned we have missed something in our investigation, and we'd like to go through the home, looking for anything of use. We wish to focus on Margaret's bedroom." She shook her head. "The more time that goes by, the less likely you will find her. Is that not the case?" She took a deep breath. "Do you know the odds of finding her now?" "I have a theory," I said, wanting to find whomever was on Margaret's case and beat them over the head. How had they not come here already? How had they left this poor woman hanging? There might be something here that is useful. She frowned, baring her teeth. "You have a theory." Each word dripped with acid. "After a month, all you have is a theory." She waved her hand, her voice trembling. She is missing the SAT tomorrow. Did you know that? Nobody in our family has gone to college. She would have been the first. Do you know how hard her parents worked so she could go? I have been reading to her since the day she was born. She was going to have opportunities I could not dream of. I had mistook the woman as having a formal education, but now I realized it must have come through many hours of toil on her own. If they would have found the drunk driver, she said, I would have been there every day of the trial. When it was my turn to testify, I would make sure the fool knew what his recklessness had taken out of this world. But of course, nobody cared to look into it, and now I have some prissy wearing makeup standing at my door with a theory. What have you been doing? Why do you show up now with your theory? I let out a sigh but ignored her venom. I'm sorry, ma'am. I wish I could have come sooner, but I'm here now. Do you remember anything that might be of use about Maggie's disappearance? She did not run away. The girl did not have a miscreant bone in her body. Never got into trouble, perfect grades, and loved running track. She waggled a finger at me. You are not here to convince me she bolted, are you? I chased out a reporter who tried to convince me of that. She sniffed. See, boy, even a journalist came, a fool one, but he showed up the day after the accident. Well, I sent him packing. Only a fool would think she ran. She was taken, I guarantee it. I nodded my head. No argument here. Where is her room? The old woman took a deep breath and pushed out of the chair. I offered her a hand, but she pushed it away. I am old, but not an invalid. She took another breath. This way. We passed shelves and shelves of orderly books. I followed her to a bedroom that was just as well kept as the rest of the house. The only exception was dust on the flat surfaces. The old woman ran a finger through it and sniffed. I have not cleaned it since she left, she said. Kept hoping somebody would come and do a proper investigation. I sure did not think it would be a yahoo like you. What is a man doing wearing makeup anyway? I grimaced. I hadn't done a good job if she could see through my disguise. Bad acne. I let out a grunt. I'm just going to poke around, see if I can turn up anything. I shook my head. I am sorry for not coming before. We're short-staffed. I'm lucky to get out here at all. She nodded, but I could see the anger brewing behind those intelligent eyes of hers. I will leave you to it. If you find anything you want to take, show it to me first so I know where it disappeared. Of course, I said, unzipping the front pocket of my bag and pulling out a pair of latex gloves. Margaret's closet was immaculate. There wasn't a single article of clothing or a shoe that did not have a place. As she had been abducted from the scene of the accident, I didn't spend much time going through the clothing. A cursory search didn't yield anything of interest. I went to her desk, pulled open the drawers, and rummaged through the contents. The top drawer had a stapler, scissors, glue, and notepads. I pulled out the lower one and went through her files. Each was labeled and sorted. At first, I pulled out every folder, but it became apparent I was just looking at copies of her schoolwork. I growled. This wasn't getting me anywhere. I examined each of her assignments, looking at her teachers or the subjects of her essays, anything that might provide me with a clue as to why Reed would have chosen to kidnap Margaret over somebody else. The essay topics were all typical for high school. Other than the fact she had perfect scores, there wasn't anything to use at all. It was easy to see why Reed wanted her for his ill-begotten team. Halfway through, I stopped pulling each assignment and had just decided to focus on questioning the grandmother further when I scanned through the remaining file tabs. The word internship jumped out at me. I pulled out the folder and saw an acceptance letter from Data Raider. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.